beep, 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 you're being poisoned. Beep, 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 beep.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Goddess Hangs.
Episode 110.
Woo! I'm Sadie.
And I'm Juliet.
Obviously. And we created the Goddess Hangs podcast to inspire you to live magically.
There it is. Live magically.
Nailed the intro.
Nailed it.
We oh love gosh. To see it. We have...
We have a lot to catch up on.
All of you, not with each other. We were together all weekend.
And it was heavenly. It was heavenly. It was everything I needed. I was showing Victor some pictures from this weekend, and I said, do you see how I glow differently when I'm next to Sadie? Do you see how I'm just meant to be beside her in this life?
Oh, I love that. We did take really cute pictures. We did so many fun things. We had a little content day. It was so fun.
It really was.
Before we go, we're gonna take it in depth on this trip because we did a lot of fun witchy things. We visited a haunted house. We blew up the crystal store. We were there for hours. we were all over the witchy stuff. But before that, anything else new with you besides our amazing weekend, Juliet?
Well, sweetie girl has mastered the step up and the perch. I know we're all on the edge of our seat with her progress. And now I'm teaching her how to give kisses. Mm. So I say, kiss, kiss. And I bring her close and she goes, she kisses my nose, and I put her back on her little stick, and she's doing really good.
Oh my god, that's so cute.
So good. So that's exciting. And we had wild rain here. It was called the bomb cyclone.
Oh,
it was a literal like cyclone from the Pacific Ocean. Like all the waves were, well, it's like when we were in San Diego, the water,
yeah,
like we were walking on normal sidewalks and there was kelp everywhere because the waves had come up so far. It was the bomb cyclone.
Wow.
So it was so much rain, which I love when it rains, because like now today I'm looking out the window and the sky is so blue and it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I know you're having a snowier experience, so I won't rub it in.
Well, but, you know, the rain is lovely in LA because it only happens a handful of times a year. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes like once, literally. So it is nice when it rains.
So that's been magical. And then have we realized this and I forgot, or I literally just learned and I had to tell you on the show where the phrase "saved by the bell" comes from?
I do know this, but I don't know if we've talked about it. Is it, should I guess?
Yeah, sure.
Is it that they would put like a string and a bell when they buried people because there was something going around, or they just weren't good at determining if people were dead or not? So they'd have a little bell for you to ring if you got buried alive. Is that why?
Yes.
That's so scary.
I mean,
at least they came up with a system, I guess.
I mean, I don't know. I just, if that was a reoccurring problem.
Okay, so we had a technical difficulty. We got cut off, but we were talking about Saved by the Bell. And where did you recently learn this or hear this?
It showed up on TikTok, which is, you know, where I discover everything.
Classic.
And what I can't understand is if this was a common problem, if we just kept accidentally, like, can the body hang out in the garage for a couple weeks? Like, why do we have to immediately bury? Is there a barn that it could just sort of chill in? Like, so somebody patented this design and you'd ring a little bell. Now, the problem was that they tied it to your ankle or your wrist, but they didn't understand the concept of rigor mortis. So you would hear bells sometimes because the arms would, you know, start to move. And there is not a single time when this actually saved a person's life. So nobody was ever actually saved by the bell.
Good for the guy that sold a bunch of patented, like, graveyard bells. I know. Bells. Good for
what
him.
What an entrepreneur. He's like, look, you're going to need
we've
this.
Got, and everybody we've got said a problem. Yes.
So that's honestly what's new with me. I'm teaching my bird how to give kisses, and I really got a nice history. And you can still see in some graveyards today, if they date back to, like, 1850s. It's sometime in the 1800s. I know that's like a vague time span, but they look like little mushrooms and they're like next to graves. And if I see one in person, for me, it's going to be like seeing a celebrity. Like, I'll be like, oh my God. Like, I will be taking pictures.
Do you see this?
It's like, do you remember a couple years ago when that boat got stuck sideways in that canal? Yeah. And it just ruined the world. Somebody saw that same ship when it was out at sea again in a few weeks later and took a picture and was like, it was like seeing a celebrity.
You see the boat out again. Good for her getting out of there. That was crazy.
What an icon. What a legend.
What a legend.
Just really stole the show.
Well, I have a couple things I wrote down that are new with me that are...
I would love to hear.
So I know everyone's on the edge of their seats wondering, is Sadie sleeping yet? I am. I started sleeping again. I started sleeping again when we went to... well, actually, like, two nights before we left for the trip, I had a good night's sleep. And then I had a bad night's sleep. And then I slept all good through the trip. And I've still been sleeping. Hallelujah. And I saw this post that made me feel like better about not being able to sleep. That was like, oh, like if you're having trouble sleeping, sometimes that means you're like quantum shifting in your timelines. And that makes a lot of sense because obviously like the trajectory of my life is drastically changing from this decision I've made. So I'm like, oh, I am like quantum shifting. So that made me feel better. And if anyone's wondering, some suggestions that I got that I did not use because I was already starting to sleep better, but I thought I'll share quickly. Someone suggested valerian root, which I've used. I used that a couple times in high school. That can help you sleep. And I love this. Someone said that they like to visualize their racing thoughts. And like, if they're like, there's like work ones, like take those and like visualize putting them in a like a manila envelope and filing it away. And if there's like home stuff, put that in one and file it away and like save it for later. So I thought that was a good idea. So thank you to those of you who reached out to me. I made a new rule for myself. Strong suggestion. That if it's above 25 degrees, I will go outside and take a walk.
I saw you. I saw you today out there in the cold.
It was 33 degrees, a beautiful, balmy Wisconsin winter day. But yeah, like it, you know, it's all over the place here. Sometimes it's below zero for weeks, but it's been nice lately. Quote, nice. So I was like, okay, I have to take advantage of this. I'm having, you know, all this internal drama of not having nice weather and being outside. And then I was like so depressed when I woke up in Wisconsin again on Tuesday. I had a post-vacation just depression yesterday. So I was like, Sadie, you got to get your ass outside. You got to look at the winter and say how much you love it and get through this.
And that you did.
But I love going for walks because I always visualize like sort of as like I'm walking and I'm like, you know, looking at nature or whatever, but I visualize like seeing like my life play out, like the things I'm manifesting. So that's why I like walking so much. And I haven't been walking because it's been cold. It's like a really important manifestation practice for me. And so it felt so good today. And I was like visualizing my trip that I'm planning and visualizing myself in like New Zealand and Australia and, oh, like meeting people and having fun and going on adventures and working from cute Airbnbs and all that. So that was really fun to visualize. So that felt good. And then the other thing was that we had such an amazing, last Thursday, we did a How Mediumship Works masterclass with our psychic circle, and we did a full moon in Cancer ritual with our coven, and they were both so fun and felt so good. And I just wanted to say shout out to all of our members in the various groups in Alchemy Collective and Psychic Circle in Coven, because I'm just having so much creating for those spaces, creating, you know, the content that goes into those master classes and channeling things for the full moons. And it's just been so fun. And so it was fun to have like last Thursday, like have those like two calls and then get ready and leave on our little trip. I just love the sort of like working and jet setting, like being able to like do it all, being in that energy of like being kind of busy. It felt really good. And so I'm just excited to continue to create for these spaces and watch the people in the spaces like grow and discover new parts of themselves and for the spaces themselves to continue to grow. So having so much fun with that. And then just this weekend, it felt so good. And we'll get into the details, but I got up early, like almost every single morning, and just like did my like meditating and journaling and reading right in the sunshine. And that just felt so good. And like Monday morning, I was like doing some work before we were going to pack up and head out for good. And I just like, I don't know why, I just, it sounds funny because I was on vacation, but I'm like, I just love to work from not my home. Like I think I daydreamed about it for so long, like sitting in a fluorescent light retail store, just like, oh, I wish I could just like travel and work. And I'm grateful when I get to do it. And it was fun. And I'm excited to, you know, that I'm going to be doing that some more this year, because it feels good to fulfill that very like potent part of a dream I had for a long time. So Let's get into the Witches Weekend in San Diego.
Witches Weekend in San Diego.
San Diego. Friday.
Okay. So Friday, really, really quick before we talk about it. When you talked about doing your walk and your visualizing and your manifesting, this week, we are dropping our 5-day Become the Alchemist free challenge. It's totally free. We'll send you an email every day for 5 days with the most amazing prompts, rituals, activities. You're going to freaking love it. And one of them, spoiler alert, is a lot like Sadie's walk.
Yes.
So keep an eye out for that. If you're like, I want to like be in this alchemy energy. I want to like know what they're talking about and dip my toes into it. It is either out today or this week.
Check the show notes.
It'll probably be done. Check the show notes. Check our Instagram. We'll be posting about it and you're going to love it, and we'll do it along with you. Okay. Friday
in San Diego.
I don't care if Monday's blue, Tuesday's gray,
Wednesday's too.
Thursday, I don't care about you.
It's Friday. I'm in San Diego.
I'm in San Diego. Okay. So on Friday, three of the girls were catching flights. Sadie, Sarah, and Britt, and I was zooming down in my car, and it was so cute because I drove down and I pretty much drove straight to the airport and picked the girls up. It was like right on time. Sarah came in a little later, And then immediately Britt wanted to get some In-N-Out burger, and we were not opposed to that idea at all. So our first stop on Witchy San Diego weekend was the infamous In-N-Out. That's what a hamburger's all about. So yeah.
Cheeseburger.
Okay, popcorn, you talk about In-N-Out burger.
I love In-N-Out burger. I get, what's everyone's In-N-Out order? Sometimes I get a double if I'm really hungry, but typically I get a number two with the cheeseburger animal style. What do you get, Juliet?
Oh, I just get I don't know what number it is, but it's a cheeseburger with a pink lemonade and fries. That's it.
I get root beer. That's a number two.
Number two. Okay, I get a number two. Then.
Number one.
I used to get a grilled cheese, but I'm eating a little more meat these days, so I've been craving it.
But yeah, we met with our friends Sarah and Britt, and I'm gonna put their business social medias in the show notes. So go check them out, because how we met them is that we Juliet and I got to support them in the beginning stages of their businesses, which was so cool. That was last year. And now we've grown into friends, and we had this little witches weekend together, and it was so special and fun. And Sarah makes art and does readings. She's the oracle artist, and Britt is a doula, bring your own birth. And they're both so wonderful and amazing. So make sure you check their pages out in the show notes. Cause we had such a good weekend together. It was so fun. So yeah, we went to In-N-Out, and then we looped back around to the airport and picked up Sarah and checked out our Airbnb, which was so cute. Such a vibe. The perfect, like, California, like, a little modern, a little boho, just very California decorated. So cute.
I have to give a shout out, and I'm going to mention them like 20 times in this episode. The Airbnb hosts, Joe and Josh.
Shout out.
Round of applause. They saw us more than they wanted to. They were fantastic.
We had a few props.
Oh my God, which, like,
but they
drama on night one. Drama. So we're like, oh my gosh, look at this house. It was so cute. There were three bedrooms. Britt and Sarah each got their own room. And then me and Sadie shared the room with these two bunk beds. And it was really fun. I liked being in a bunk bed with you.
They were like the bougiest bunk beds. They were queen size bunk beds. Mm-hmm. I was on the top, like facing this, or we were both facing the same way. And we each had our own like cubby with like an outlet and our own light. Like it was, I was like, I could live in this room with Juliet. This was the best. It was so cozy.
Did you think that? I thought that too. I was like, oh man, like... Bummer. If I was single, I would get. We could do a bunk bed thing.
A bunk bed situation.
And Sadie and I, and I will say the other girls we traveled with, like chef's kiss on being like chatty and talking, and then knowing the beauty of a comfortable silence. Like once Sadie and I got into our rooms at night, we sat in the room for hours. We didn't say a word to each other. It was magic. It was
bliss.
And to not feel for a second like, should I ask if she's comfortable? Like, she's fine.
Are you still awake?
Are you up? I had a bad dream. Sadie, I had a bad dream.
If you have a bad dream, you're allowed to wake me up.
So I thought the same thing. I was like, oh, like in another timeline, I bet this is how we live. So it was just adorable. And the backyard had a hammock. It had this really awesome table to sit at in the sunshine. It had an outdoor bathtub that like Sadie and I were like, oh, we'll take some pictures in it. She comes outside. I have filled up the tub. She's like, you filled up the... I'm like, well, yeah, it's an outdoor bathtub. I'm not going to not take a bath here.
I was like, I just showered. You need to empty that for picture time.
I said, okay, fine.
I didn't want to get my booty wet.
Oh my gosh. So, okay, let's get back to night number one.
Okay. Oh, wait. I also wanted to preface this that from the beginning of the weekend, too.
Okay.
That we were doing this thing. Okay. So, like, last week, I talked about how I started doing these why questions. And my favorite one has been, like, why am I so lucky? Why is everything working out for me? So, we all started doing this from, like, the beginning of the weekend. Like, on Friday, we just started talking about, we just kept saying it randomly, like, all four of us. Like, oh, my God. Like, we're so lucky. Like, oh, my God. Everything's working out for us. We're the luckiest girls in the world. And you'll see some lucky things happen throughout the weekend, which was really fun. And we've now coined our, what do you call it? Like a duo, but four people. We're the lucky honeys.
Lucky honeys.
So the all weekend we were like, oh, why are we so lucky? Oh my God, we're so lucky. And that was so fun too.
Oh my gosh. I'm picturing like dice and like a, like an oozing pot of honey.
Like, or like I got dice this weekend.
Or like cherries and honey. Ooh, sexy. Ooh. Okay, so this is so, some of you are going to be like, this lands with me. And some of you are going to be like, you ate where? So the first night that we get there.
Wait, before that. We went to the beach.
Oh, duh.
Whoa.
Me skipping over the literal bachelor set. So, okay, let me back it up. So the Met, I'm already ready to talk about Cheesecake Factory.
She's like, we went to In-N-Out, we went to Cheesecake Factory. Hungry?
We really stepped outside our comfort zone with food. We had In-N-Out. We had Cheesecake Factory. I'm just not a foodie. And I like if it, the choices overwhelm me of like, yeah, where do I eat in this city? So I'm like, well, we'll just, okay, let me back it up.
I don't like to decide that.
So the magic of this Airbnb, shout out Joe and Josh, was they're like, oh, and if you stay in this Airbnb, we'll set up a bonfire for you on the beach with s'mores. Mm-hmm. And we'll write your name in the sand.
So you can find it.
So going into tonight, I just felt like a character. I was like, oh my God, this is a bachelor set. So I'll let you tell this part because you'll tell it better than me.
Oh, okay. Well,
I mean, I forgot it happened. So you go that's ahead. True.
This was our witchy Friday activity. So Friday was the full moon in Cancer, which I purposely chose this weekend because it was the full moon in Cancer. Juliet didn't realize that. But I wanted to meet with my witches on a full moon. So Friday we flew in on the full moon in Cancer, and then we were like, we could have picked whatever day, but obviously we have to pick the full moon day. And it was the perfect way to start our weekend. Cause like after you fly and drive, like you're tired, you don't necessarily want to like get dressed up and like go out. So we just went to the beach and we were on the like bay side of the beach. I don't know what beach we were at, but it was so beautiful. So it's like the sun is starting to set. It's still light out when we first get there, and we walk up and they've carved Sarah's name in the sand with these like waves. It's like professional. It's beautiful. And there's this huge basket with s'mores goodies, and they've got the fire all set up. And they asked us, they're like, do you want us to light it, or do you ladies want to do it? We're like, oh, we got it.
Can I admit something to you?
What?
When that was asked, my knee jerk was like, let them just do it. But everybody's like, no, we'll do it. And I was like, oh, okay.
I love starting fires, but we had problems.
We did. Everything was moist.
Yeah, from the swell. But, and there was like tiki torches around our little area too. So we had like tiki torches all lit up around us. And then, yeah, so there was a situation with the fire. I was so excited. I love starting fires. There was even a special log in there that was supposed to make it easy. Mm-hmm. We tried. We had to message Joe and Josh, and I don't remember which one. I think Joe came over right away and like with a bunch of kerosene and lit that sucker up. It was so sweet and so nice and like not bothered at all. And then it was just like, oh, I have chills thinking about it. It was like being in a movie. It like mm-hmm. the moon was rising, and you know, as the moon rises, it just looks gigantic as it's like rising up, and then it like kind of like looks like it gets smaller. And it was like mm-hmm. from my seat, at least, it was just perfectly in line with like the view of the fire and the big moon. And we just sat around that fire and we laughed and we hung out and we roasted s'mores that were, oh, they were so good.
They were, and so then, good.
God, there's nothing like a s'more over a big roaring fire, you know? Nothing like it. Mm-hmm. That's why I like camping. That's what you're going to love about camping, Julia, all the s'mores.
That'll get me excited.
Yeah, that's the best part. And then what was really special is, well, we forgot paper, but we had napkins. So on napkins, we wrote down what we all wanted to release, and we each shared with each other. And then like all like the person that was sharing theirs, we like all like put our hands on them, and then they threw it in the fire and we'd howl at the moon, and we did it one by one. It just felt so good. There's also nothing like howling at the moon. It was a really like solid night. We roasted s'mores. We howled at the moon. Oh, it was just the coziest. We danced around the fire. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We were there for like 2 hours. It was so fun. It was so nice. And it was so witchy. It was like the best way to start the weekend.
And the way that the moon looked. So we were in the bay where all these boats were sort of docked, just like out in the water. Mm-hmm. And the, okay, I tried to explain this. If you're a Disneyland person, you'll get this. The first like 2 minutes of the Pirates of the Caribbean ride, there's a feeling. That's what it felt like. It was just like, mystical and gentle, and you like felt, you heard the water and you felt the moon, and oh, I loved it. I loved it so much.
It was so nice. And then, Juliet, what did we do after that?
Okay, well, after that, we went to the Cheesecake Factory for the first time. Spoiler.
Keep a hold of that one. Put that one in your pocket. Remember that for later. The Cheesecake Factory.
And we walked in, and there was also this ongoing joke throughout the whole weekend that like everything was a portal. Like we were looking at like the way they design. Next time you go to a Cheesecake Factory, there's wizardry happening in how they design the ceiling and the art and everything. And we were like, is this a portal? Is the Cheesecake Factory a portal?
We have a conspiracy theory about the Cheesecake Factory.
We do.
It's a portal.
We do. There's something going on there.
You look at that ceiling, there's no doubt in my mind.
You know, you start to receive messages, whatever. So
channeling in the Cheesecake Factory.
We were eating there, and it was just apparent that some people had woken up at like 4 a.m. And so we were starting to get a little tired. And so we ate. We had a great time. We headed back to the house. And we began to settle in for our first full night of cozy, restful slumber. Mm-hmm. Britt had gone to bed. Sadie was kind of in her bed. Me and Sarah were up because we're night owls and we're on Pacific time. And so we were like just having the best time together. And I was like, I'm chilly. Like, let's put on these heaters. We pop on the heaters. The girls are going to bed. Within like 5 minutes, the carbon monoxide alarm starts chirping. And the light is flashing that says, move to fresh air. It was not the battery light. It was 1,000% move to fresh air. And it was like, da, 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 da. Da, 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 da. Like, it was not a battery. And we're like,
well, oh, no.
What? That can't be. No. And then we're like, so we're opening all the windows. We turned off all the heaters. And Sarah and I are starting to feel like a little dizzy because we were sitting in front of the one that was, I believe, having the problem. And then we're all, so we're like, you know, we have to get the Airbnb people out here, like this, like, you know, they don't want us to die in their house. That wouldn't be good for anybody. So they, right before they came, the four of us are standing in the hallway and we're looking up and we're noticing like, oh, so it's definitely the carbon monoxide. It's not the smoke alarm. There was a smoke alarm on the ceiling that was perfectly intact in the ceiling. And we're just looking with our eyes and we're having a conversation. And 30 seconds later, I look up again and I'm like, what? The smoke alarm is hanging by a string.
Dangling.
It didn't make any noise detaching. It was attached. Nobody had touched it. And we're like, what is going on? It really freaked me out. And so we like, we're very cold, but we stood by like these open windows and doors. And so much for getting a good night's sleep because it was like, beep, 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 you're being poisoned. Beep, 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 beep. I've just never had a carbon monoxide alarm go off that said move to fresh air. So thank God for that alarm. Not thank God. Thank Joe and Josh for that alarm. Is there anything you'd like to add to that story? Because that like was very trippy.
I tried to look at it and I had just done my skincare and my hands were all greasy from the stuff I put on my face and I left all these handprints on the wall.
Oh yeah, we had to like all these was, oily fingerprints.
That was my contribution. I left greasy oil. I put vitamin E oil on my face that's like really, really thick. It's this new thing I've been doing and it feels amazing on your skin and it makes you glow. But yeah, really, it's all over my hands when I go to bed at night too, which I like. It's good for your hands too. But yeah, I touched the wall trying to like look at the thing and you could just see these like handprints. I was like, oh shit, he's coming over. I was trying to scrub it. I kind of got it off. Then we just left that. There was more than one heater situation. We left that one off. I went to bed before he even came because the alarm stopped going off once we opened all the windows. And I was like, yeah, they'll wake me up if he says we gotta evacuate. I went to bed.
So trusting.
I was really fucking tired and I slept great that night.
I know. You
Maybe did. It was the small amount of carbon monoxide poisoning that just lulled me right to sleep, just the right amount.
I know. I slept really good too. It was weird. I was like, oh, I'm feeling a little, and Sarah and I were just like, this isn't normal. So anyways, yeah, we were almost poisoned to death on our trip. Crazy.
That was not lucky, but there was more lucky stuff that comes.
No, later. But it was lucky. It was lucky that we weren't.
Yeah.
It was so lucky that we weren't. So, okay. Everybody goes to bed. We can close the windows. We all make it to another day.
We all survived the night.
We all survived the night. And then it's Saturday.
Saturday. So Saturday, I had slept so good the night before and I went to bed early. And so I woke up early and it felt so good because I hadn't slept really, really great in a long time. You guys know that. And Britt was up early too because we were the two like, you know, wrong time zone people that went to bed early. And so we just like, Britt and I, we just sat in silence, chatted a little bit, sat in silence outside in the sun with our books for like quite a few hours in the morning. It felt so good. Oh my gosh, just sitting in the sun with a book, nothing like it. Had some coffee. But then we had such a fun day. Saturday, we did so much. I'm really proud of us because I usually am like one activity a day kind of girl. But we went to Old Town San Diego. San Diego had so many fun spots. Like everywhere we went, I was like, this is the most fun spot I've ever been in my life.
I know. We were discussing like, do we want to move here? Like this is
I know.
Pretty great.
I'm like, I want to have babies here. It's so fun. Mm-hmm. I told my dad that too. I was like, I've never been to such a fun place. It's amazing.
It was magical.
So we went to Old Town San Diego and it was so fun. So we got brunch there, and I love places like this where they like kind of like fix up, you know, make it look like what it would have looked like back in the day. And, you know, the people weren't dressed and in character, but so 4 stars instead of 5.
I was just going to say 4 out of 5 stars.
I would have loved some old timey people looking at me like, what is that contraption in your hand? I love when they pretend that you're, you know, so weird and that they live in that time in the 1800s. I love going places like that. But there was still some dressed up people. We saw a guy in a nice top hat sit in a top coat situation. I enjoyed that. Yeah. And we, do you want to talk about the big activity we did? We did 2 big activities, yes. But the first one.
Okay. So I loved Old Town San Diego. We thought we would maybe spend like an hour and a half there. We're I think like, we were there for brunch 6 hours. I think 6 hours later, we're like, wow. So we're, you know, moseying about. And of course, we see this crystal, like minerals and gems. There were a lot of mineral and gem shops in San Diego. It did not disappoint. And we start running. We're like, we gotta get in there. And we all bought little goodies in this crystal shop. I got this mortar and pestle in green onyx. How beautiful is that? I'm holding it up to the camera. And then I got these 2 selenite palm stones that are out of reach. But there was a thing that said, like, for $10, you can pan for crystals and keep everything that you find. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, let's ask about that. That sounds kind of fun. And we did, and we met this awesome girl named Riley, who worked at the store. Shout out to Riley, who was so sweet and so helpful and so enthusiastic. And she said, oh, this is going to heal your inner child. Like, you must do it. I was like, oh, is it for kids? She's like, no, it's for you. So you pay $10 and you get this big bowl dish of sand. And on the top, you can see little flecks of like mica and little crystals. And in my head, I thought, oh, we're going to put this through some sifters and I'm going to leave with a bunch of like little tiny flecks. Like that was sort of what I like, oh, cool. Like they just dug up some dirt and whatever. Well, no, they made it way more fun than that. They plant like tumbled beautiful crystals in each, like I'm sure they count and they put them in each little dirt thing. But I didn't expect that. So we go over to the water and you start panning for your, Sadie kept calling it mining. Like, yeah, we went mining for mining crystals.
Mining for crystals.
We were rock hounding out here. So we were panning and what ends up happening is like all these big crystals start to appear. And so our reactions of like, oh my God, we're so genuine. Like here's one. It's like this really nice Lumerian clear quartz. Like this on its own could have been like $15 maybe. Mm-hmm. And then I had a whole bunch of, they're actually just on my desk, but like if you're watching.
Mine are still in the bag. I meant to like grab the bag and show how much we got, but I didn't grab it.
I mean, there's more. There's so many and they just kept appearing.
Like a handful, like a big handful you have to carefully balance so it doesn't fall out of your hands.
Oh my gosh. It was so much fun. Part of me wanted to pay another $10 and do it again.
Do more. I know. I was like, I'll just pay for the activity and give this round to some kids. But I wouldn't. I would keep all the crystals. I'd be like, well, actually, I like that one and that one.
Oh, yeah. No, I'd want to keep them.
Yeah. Shout out to Riley because she just made that whole experience even more fun. And like, she was so knowledgeable. She's such a just knowledgeable witch and like sharing things and like giving us insight. Like, oh, you found, you know, a lot of the crystals associated with like your sacral chakra. And that means this. Mm-hmm. And it was so fun to just kind of like Juliet and I lead so many things, you know, and we do readings for others. And I just felt very taken care of and seen by Riley. It was nice to be on the receiving end because we do that for others so often. So that felt like so nice. And I really enjoyed that. So shout out Riley. Thank you, Riley. It was just so fun. It would have been fun regardless. And it was like 1,000 times more fun. And Riley helped me get a lot of really good content too. She was taking videos and pictures and helping us out. Oh, so it was awesome.
It was magical. If you're ever in Old Town San Diego, go to the Mineral and Gem shop. Do you remember what it was called?
Miners, Minerals, or Gems or something. No, Miners, Rocks, and Gems. That's where I got the mining from.
Oh, okay. Go to
it
Miners.
It was called Miners, Rocks, and Gems, or Gems and Crystals. Because I was reading the little cards we got earlier. It's like Miners something.
You must go. Town. You must spend the $10, whether or not you have kids with you. It's so fun. And people walking by, like, stop and look. They're like, what's this? It's such a treat. So that was magical. And then we began exploring the other shops, the other stores. There were places where you could dip your own candle. Mm-hmm. We didn't do that, but it was fun to watch.
Yeah, there's so many like fun activities to do if you wanted to.
There were all these free museums you could walk through. Like, mm-hmm. You could see all these old stage coaches, mm-hmm. and wagons. That was so cool. That's where we saw the guy in the top hat, and Sadie got really excited. What else? Oh gosh. And there was this one like craft store that had this huge, like the size of this office that I'm in, scale model of what Old Town San Diego looked like.
Oh, yeah. That was so cool.
I love a scale model.
I really want to make one. Maybe Let's that'll be my it. Hobby for the rest of my time in Wisconsin. I'll make a scale model of something here. The Round Barn.
Yeah. Aww. The world's largest round barn.
And then I'll bring it back and I'll give it to Juliet as a present.
Aww. That's very thoughtful.
She'd be like,
thank you.
What am I going to do with this?
That's your carry-on on the plane. You're like, it is a round like, barn.
Oh, be careful. Be careful, everybody. It's delicate.
Oh, my gosh. So, okay. Scale model. There mm-hmm. were all these shops. There were just beautiful, beautiful things. A lot of puppets. A lot of marionette puppets.
I love that. And so many places sold those wrestling masks. That I thought was really funny too, which was amazing.
Yes. Okay. So after we had gone and explored all these things in Old Town, we passed by our tour guide kept calling it the Wheelie House. Everywhere else on the internet calls it the Whaley House.
Hmm.
So I don't know. It's
definitely spelled Whaley. And I was like, is it pronounced Wheelie because he said it that way?
But I don't
know. Definitely looks like Whaley.
Yeah. So I'm going to refer to it as the Whaley House. We passed by the Whaley House. It's just like this, you know, two-story home in Old Town. And there's a sign that says America's Most Haunted House. And we said, oh, we are absolutely buying tickets to this tour.
Sign us up.
So we ended up getting tickets for a nighttime tour. We did a tour after dark. And while we waited, we went and got chips and coffee from a Mexican restaurant.
We did.
And then it was time for our haunted tour, which, oh my gosh. Okay. I'll pass this over to you and then I'll come back in.
Okay. All right. So first of all, our tour guide's name was Bullet and he was so funny and so great. And so like, I love when you have, I think this is common, like most tours I've gone on, like the people are doing it because they're really passionate about it and they really enjoy mm-hmm. it. And I just appreciate that so much. It makes the experience so fun. But we went in with Bullet as our tour guide, really fun guy. And the first part you enter in is this courthouse, and he has you sit down and he starts telling you about the history. And, you know, throughout the whole house, they have all the lights very dim and like flickering. So it already feels very spooky. Mm-hmm. And so he started telling us about the history. And what I was blown away by was he was like, can anyone guess the last time that this courtroom was used? And you know, the house was built in, I wrote this down, the house was built in 1856 and the Whaleys moved in 1857. So this is how old that house is, right? 1800s. And he asked us, and guess everyone right now out there listening, just really quick, take a guess at what year was the last time they used this courthouse. Do you remember, Juliet?
What was it, 1901?
No, it was 2022. It's still a working courthouse. They still hold court cases in it. Is that crazy?
I know, it's bizarre. I would not want to get jury duty. Imagine getting jury duty in,
well,
like,
if it
that
was there, that'd be kind of cool.
But it'd be so distracting. You'd be so many spirits.
That would be your out. To be like, I am actually a medium and I'm going to be really distracted by all of the spirits. So I can't be here.
I know. I can't. I was talking today to Eileen. I was like, I can't wait for, well, I absolutely can. I can wait a long time for my next jury duty summons. And they're like, what's your profession? I'll be like, I'm literally a psychic witch.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, thank you. Goodbye.
I saw Steffi just post in her story something about like, she had like crystals that she was going to take because she got summoned or something. I was like, that's so funny. You're like, I'm just going to know. So
yeah,
get this over with quick. But yeah, so that was so interesting. So we're in the courthouse part, and then he takes us into the next room that had been a general store. And what I really liked about Bullet as a tour guide was that he was really getting the group to pay attention to all of our clair senses. Like, he was very aware of that, very mindful of that. He was like, notice, he was like, some people smell, you know, cigar smoke in this room. Some people see this and hear that. Like, he was really like letting you know the things you might experience. And I thought that was really cool. So we started learning about just sort of the history of Mr. Whaley that built the house and started all sorts of different businesses. And when one didn't work, he'd start a new one. And so that was very interesting. And then they said that sometimes the desk in that room, the general store room, that the desk that sometimes you would see or feel activity there. Mm-hmm. Did you feel anything in particular in that first room or in the courtroom? From a psychic perspective?
So that courtroom freaked me out. Yeah. Hmm. I felt kind of weird in there. And then I did feel some thicker energy by the desk. Where I really felt stuff was halfway up the stairs. And then looking into that one bedroom.
Mm.
That's personally where I felt it. But what about you?
I didn't really feel anything in the courtroom. I just felt excited. I was just happy to be there. And then in that first room, it definitely, like, my first impression was like, this is where a lot of men hung out, but like beyond that, I didn't really get more. But then that made sense because they said that like they had a liquor license there and like the men in that household like hung out there and smoked their cigars. So that made sense. Mm-hmm. But I didn't really get much beyond that. I wasn't picking up a lot. We were in a very big group. So I don't know if that like made it feel more difficult to tune into stuff. But I definitely felt like a more like, I was like, oh, like masculine energy here. Like that this is where men hung out more. But then when we went into the parlor, I did feel a lot of energy there. And the parlor was the next thing. And they had these portraits on the wall of the women in the family. And I felt like those portraits were jumping out at me. I felt energy right away. very interesting and like a little like not super friendly energy.
Oh, the dining room. Did you feel the dining room?
Yeah, or the dining room. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Not yeah. the parlor, the dining room.
Before I even heard the story of Violet, I was like her photo in particular was like, yeah, they all looked, they just looked, how do I say, something just looked off about, even in their pictures, like I, not welcoming, not well, like,
yeah,
something was off. No, I felt the same way when I saw those, a lot of the photos, not the men so much, but the women.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the woman, I felt that. Sorry, yeah, I meant the dining room. The parlor was the last thing we went in. I was looking at the parlor right here. So we're in the dining room, and this is where we kind of learn, like, one of the first very tragic stories of this family. So was it the daughter? She was, like, 3 years old when that happened? Was that what they said?
The young daughter? It may have been a granddaughter.
Or granddaughter. But this tragedy happened that, so back in, I guess, the 1800s, they would sell this ant killer that was in a jar, which was basically arsenic mixed with honey. The honey would attract the ants to come eat it. And, you know, and this jar had like a thing on the in it to like make it rattle, I guess, so you knew it. What it was, I didn't really catch on like why it had this rattling situation, but this little girl, she was like 3 years old and she's playing with it like a rattle and the top somehow comes off and she's like, oh my gosh, this looks like honey, this smells like honey. She's three and she eats it and very tragically passes. But she's said to hang out in that dining room area, and Bullitt said, you know, late, and he said, ladies, she's more likely to come to you, she doesn't really approach men, but he said, every, all the women, put your hands down and you might feel like a little warmth around your legs or a little pressure on your hand, which was interesting because when we walked in that room, my legs felt warm. I had shorts on and I was chilly and my legs felt warm right away, but I didn't necessarily feel anything in my hand. But I did feel the warmth by my legs, which was cool. I did feel that. So that was the dining room. Did you feel anything else in there besides the women's portraits that were scaring both of us?
Horrifying. For maybe like 20 seconds, I almost felt something like this. Mm-hmm. Like around, I'm wrapping my hand around three of my fingers. And yeah. Then it went away. And I was like, huh, okay. Mm-hmm. But it felt really sweet. It didn't freak me out.
Yeah, it was very sweet energy. Yeah, it just felt, yeah, like thick, but like good. And it was like low. So then we went up the stairs, and the upstairs was very interesting. So the first room that you see when you go up the stairs is one of them that has quite a bit of activity. And so shortly after the family moved into that house in 1857, this would have been the first tragedy, I guess, that happened in the house. Their youngest son, Thomas, who was only 18 months at the time, he got scarlet fever and he passed. And so this first room you go up was his nursery, and they still have his like bassinet in there and the rocking chair that his mother sat in while she was trying to nurse him back to health is in there. And it's said that sometimes you can see the rocking chair rock or the bassinet rock. And when you looked in that room, you just were hit by grief. Like you felt it very strongly, that mother's pain of losing a child. Like it just sort of like hit you in like your chest of just like, oh, that feeling of, yeah, like powerlessness when you know someone's beyond your help. I felt that very strongly. It did not. I kept looking back in there. I was like willing the rocking chair to move. I was like, please move. I want to see something like with my eyeballs. But I didn't see anything. So that was that room. What did you feel about that room, or did you see anything?
Okay, so very quick rewind. When we were in the dining room, there was a door, and it was the original size door of all the doors in that house, because in 1856, the average height for a woman was 4'5", and the average height for a man was 5'5", which is so interesting that we are like evolving to be taller over time. And so, I mean, my head like was just below, like I probably could have walked just through this door, and they had kept one original door.
I was taller than it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's and crazy. I was like, oh my gosh. So that was interesting. Now going up the stairs, and this is fascinating because I found something out after, like in researching today. So I'm walking up the stairs, and about halfway through the stairs, I felt like my legs turned to lead. I felt like they were so heavy. And right as I said that, Sarah was like a step behind me, and she goes, did your legs just become extremely heavy? I said, yeah, they did. So in my research, on the ninth step, and that probably would have been about where we were, that is the step where at one time somebody had broken into the house, and the wife, Anna, had run down and stopped at the ninth step and was like having an altercation with these people. So there's this like weird, like do not pass feeling that happens right on the ninth step. And it says there's like a, there, yeah, the air becomes colder. I just felt heavier. Sarah felt heavier. It was like trying to walk through like jello. There was something about that. And then when I looked in the baby's room, I think what was, it was just, the energy was so thick. It was so heavy. And like the best, if you're like, what does that look like? What does that feel like? Walk into your great aunt or your grandmother's house that hasn't been cleaned in a really long time, and there's a lot of stuff, you just feel like you're swimming through that air. Like there's just something thick. So that was probably the thickest room I'd ever seen, ever. Mm. And when I was in Memphis, the air, there was like an intensity in Elvis's house, but it was not like this. Like this was like molasses. If molasses was energy and air. So that's what I felt there. And I felt like there was like the sadness, like in the molecules of that room.
Yeah.
It just was like infinite. And then the other bedroom up there was the one where like,
I'm like yawning and feeling nauseous as I talk about it.
So the other bedroom was used by one of the daughters named Violet. And I'm going to tell Violet's story. So Violet was one of the daughters. They had one, two, three. They had six children altogether, Anna and Thomas, I believe. And Violet lived up in this room. And there was something about this room that was like I can't even think about it. There was like grief and sadness in the baby room. And this room was just like misery. It was like if misery was a space.
I felt like, and we saw it and then we learned her story and it made sense. But when I looked, I was totally drawn to the window as though I was like supposed to just be gazing out this window. And I just felt completely hopeless.
Mm-hmm.
It was different. It wasn't the like powerlessness of grief of not being able to help my child. It was like hopeless. I just felt like I can't even describe it. It was awful. I just like, and then we learned the story, which Juliet's about to tell. And I was like, oh shit. Like it makes so much sense, but it was just pure, just like hopelessness. I can't even describe it any other way.
So Violet, I completely agree. So Violet, if I remember correctly, she was going to be married, and then just to like the love of her life, like she really loved this man. And then he cheated on her, or she was married.
She was married. That was,
okay. He cheated on her and suggested that they get a divorce, which back in that day was like unheard of. Like women, like a woman after a divorce, you know, just really loses her value, which is so sad and so ridiculous, especially for a man's doing. So,
well, so Bullitt said that so he was like, please forgive me.
You're right.
And she was like, no, I can't. Like, so she would rather, you know, she was just so heartbroken. She's like, I'd rather go through the shame of a divorce than be with someone who would do that to me.
Okay.
And of course, you know, the guy is just fine living his life.
Right. He just moves on. So thank you. So she gets a divorce and is like heartbroken. And then another one of her sisters is about to marry the love of her life. And that man finds out that there's divorce in the family and takes off. It's like, no, I don't want to marry into a family where there's any divorce. So Violet is feeling so responsible for the shame on her family, for the misery in her life, the misery she's brought to her sister's life. And she would spend hours just staring out that exact window that Sadie felt really drawn to. And I felt something over there too. And even I posted the video in our coven and I said, let me know if you feel anything. And somebody saw that room and thought, right by the window, I'm feeling like something really intense. So they picked up on it as well. And the mm-hmm. very sad story is that Violet went downstairs one day.
Well, they locked her in there, remember, because she was depressed and they were like, oh, she needs to be like locked up so she feels better, which is the opposite of what she needed.
Oh,
so
I didn't catch that.
So Bullitt was saying that, like, you know, what she was going through was like depression and maybe something else. But they thought that they were like, oh, like the cure for melancholy is to stay inside and be, you know, like stay in bed, and which is like the opposite. Like you should be outside and be, you know, with people and be taken care of. But they sort of like, not that she was like imprisoned in that room, but that like they were like, you're sick, you need to stay here. But she wasn't like physically ill. She was struggling mentally, and she was just sort of like, you stay in this room, you'll get better, which is awful.
Ay-ay-ay.
They didn't know at the time, of course.
No. So locked in her room, she spends hours daily looking out this window into the backyard, into the land, into the property. And one day, trigger warning, we've got some suicide coming up, okay? You can skip ahead. One day, she decides she is done. And she goes downstairs to the desk that we walked right by, and she writes her family a letter saying, I love you all very much. I'm so sorry. She goes into the outhouse. This is kind of graphic. She takes a gun and shoots herself. And her father, I believe, hears this noise, goes outside, finds his daughter bleeding to death, brings her in the parlor, which we'll come to in a moment, lays her down on the couch, and just sits with her while she dies. And she had nothing to say. She just sort of faded out. And I was thinking, there's so many things that we just don't realize weren't a thing back then. Like you couldn't pick up a phone and call 911. Like that didn't exist. Like, oh, I guess they'll die now. Like you just sort of dealt with it in your home. Like that was what you did. And even now, if you call the police, it might take them a while to get here. You never know. But it was just this really, really sad tragedy that kind of colored the whole tone of the house. There was almost like a Kennedy thing about this family. You know how the Kennedys have like very strange luck? People pass away in like very intense, almost like their family's cursed, which I don't believe in that. But like that's what some people say. It sort of felt like the Whaleys had this same fate. Like things just kept happening in like really horrible ways. And there may be a couple theories as to why. So once we, oh, do you want to talk about the theater? Or did you? You did.
No, we didn't talk about the theater.
Oh, okay. Let's go back up to the theater and then I'll get into some like creepy things.
So they had this theater, which is where they would have entertained guests, thrown parties. The bullet was telling us like they had like actors and actresses. At one point it was like burlesque performances were going on there. All sorts of, you know, party, lots of energy there. This is where I had a huge physical reaction. Like, I got so hot in this room. And like, when I'm doing readings and I'm really tapped in, my ears get really hot. Mm-hmm. And my ears were like burning in that room. I didn't feel as though messages were coming through or anything, but that's like a big sign to me that like I'm around, you know, or I'm like tuned into something. When we were outside, before we came into the house and we were standing in line, I told you guys, I said, I just feel like there's something in that window closest to us. There's like a man that's just like kind of like just observing the people about to come in. Like no energy about it, not like disdain or like don't bother me or come on in or anything, just sort of like observing energetically, like a spirit. I didn't see anything. I just felt that very strongly. And then we went in, and that would have been the room where I was sensing that from the outside. And he said that there was a number of energies that hang out there. So I don't know who particularly I was picking up on so clearly, but I felt that very strongly in that room. And I didn't feel any like physical sensations like I'm about to say, but Bullet said that oftentimes like women will feel like their hair getting like played with. And men will feel like a finger down their spine, like a burlesque dancer, you know, might do to like tease. Mm-hmm. So it was fun to learn about that. And that was like a little bit more playful energy in that room. I would say a little less tragic, like the rest of the house felt very tragic and yes. sad. And the energy was a little bit lifted in that room. Yes. It was the space where people came to take a load off, you know, like to drink and dance and have fun and watch people perform and things. So I enjoyed that space like the most. And I felt energy very strongly there. But then we made our way back downstairs into the parlor, and the parlor was very interesting. Do you want to talk about the parlor?
Yeah. So the parlor had an old piano that somebody on the tour should not have been touching, but they were. it's like there's one rule. You just don't touch.
We could take as many pictures and videos as we wanted. That wasn't enough for some people.
No, had to play the piano. So yes, you pass by the red couch where Thomas Whaley held his daughter Violet in her final moments. You also walk under this very, in the middle of the parlor, it's almost separated into two sides by this huge archway made out of some type of wood. And it's symbolic. And it's like, why would you do this? But anyways, before the house was built, in that spot stood a tree where they would perform the hangings, and everybody in the town would come to watch, which is so morbid. Like, Nick.
No, that was the town entertainment.
So, ugh.
Like, kids would go. It was just the normal thing to do.
Really, play with the hoop and the stick. Like, let's get away.
Go play with the bells in the cemetery.
Yeah, ring some bells, stir up some trouble. So one of the people that had their last moment under that tree was Yankee Jim. And Yankee Jim Robinson, I was watching a BuzzFeed thing and they said like, oh, Yankee Jim, like it doesn't sound like a haunting name at all. Like he seems like he's a nice guy. He was sentenced to death because he tried to steal a boat, but he didn't even get away with it. He just And they said, death for
and he
you.
Was a known horse thief too, right? I feel like that was his claim to fame. He like stole horses, and then his defeat was this boat. He should have stuck to horses.
He absolutely should have stuck to horses. So to pay tribute to the fact that that's like a place where in the town people were hanged, he built the archway in his parlor in that exact spot. And this was weird. So we go into the parlor and immediately my throat starts to hurt. I didn't know any of this information, but I'm like, ugh, am I getting sick? Like my throat just started to feel really tight. And he's telling the story about, oh yes, this is what happened. And this is why Mr. Whaley built this. He goes, and you know, a lot of people, when you pass under that arc, whatever it's called, you may feel a tightness in your throat because this is what happened. And I was like, no way. Because I walked into this home like, okay, America's most haunted house. Like I'm ready to see something. I'm ready to feel something. And I also have a very healthy dose of skepticism, you know, like, oh, it's a tourist trap, like whatever. But with the between the staircase and like the molasses thick energy and that throat moment, I was like, okay, there's something happening here. And all the furniture seemed so little and so low to the ground. Did you feel that way? They were little.
Because they were so little. Well, the interesting and very awful, sad story about kind of why Yankee Jim is such, I guess, remembered person is because, so they were, you know, regularly doing these hangings. This was a common practice. But as we mentioned earlier, everyone was like 5'5", like that was the average height. And so the height that they typically did these from, so you're like standing on like a wagon, I guess. And then like they have the horses go and they pull it and you fall, right? Ugh. But Yankee Jim was 6'5". He was a foot taller than the average man of this time. So his feet, when he fell, his feet hit the ground. But then he kind of went back up and he couldn't quite touch. So this is awful, but it took him, like most people would pass instantly because like their neck would break or whatever. This is awful and specific. But what kind of made this man stand out as a story is because he was so large and it took him a long time to slowly, but that he said to haunt the house too in that space. And you know, you would think, well, that's why he had this extra awful, tragic death. But I thought it was interesting because like you'd think, why would they build a house where this was happening, where they were doing all the executions? And I was thinking about this too, because I was like, so Thomas Whaley bought, I think it was like 5 acres, he said right off the bat or something like that. That's a decent amount of space. The house isn't that big.
You could have built the house. 5 acres. You could have built the house.
I live on 2 acres right now. You could have picked somewhere. But Thomas Whaley is said to have been insistent that he was not superstitious and just to prove a point, wanted to build the house in that spot. Well, good job, Thomas. Your house is haunted.
The most haunted house in America. So there
isn't
are
that ironic.
Yes. So there are two police documented stories of things that happened at this house. And also there was some statistic about how this is actually like the US government has only or the California government has deemed two places haunted in California, and this is one of them.
Officially so haunted, yeah.
Sometime in I think the 1980s, there was the police were called because there was a woman in full period clothing sitting on a bench outside the Whaley house and just sobbing. And it just seemed weird. So somebody called the police, maybe somebody who worked there. I don't know. And the police show up. This man comes forward, walks up to this woman in her period piece dress, and says, "Ma'am, are you okay? What's wrong?" and she disappears. It's vanishes. Written in a police report. It's documented. Another time, this one I learned about today, was that one time one of the workers was, you know, locking the doors, locking the house, getting everything ready to end the night, set the alarm, whatever. And a woman appeared behind him in a green gingham period piece dress and said, "What are you doing here?" And he screamed and freaked out and just ran out the door, and the alarm went off. So the police showed up because they got the trigger of the alarm. Yeah. And they showed up. They see this woman in the green dress in the parlor. They go to like write something down. She's gone.
So there's two police reports of ghosts.
I believe I knew so. For sure one. But that was another one that
oh my God.
Was talked about. They say that you can smell cigars, perfume, the smell of cooking near the holidays. There's just a lot. So I would recommend, if you're ever in San Diego and you visit Old Town San Diego, go to the Whaley House and do it at night. It was much more fulfilling at night.
Mm-hmm.
And get prepared, because you're going to be, it's an interactive tour if you get bullet, to the point where he kind of kept turning to me for all of his like jokes and like fill in the blanks. And I didn't mean to be snippy, but like the sixth time this happened within 5 minutes, I mean, there's like a group of 25 people. He really could have mixed it up, and he just kept looking at me to like fill in the blank and like hit the punchline.
You were his right hand man. You were standing right next to him. He just kept being like,
and he would get like right in your face. And I said at one point, kind of quietly, I said, "Am I the co-star? What is this?" And he left me alone after that. I was just like, this is too much. Like, we need to reel it in. Just, I can't be responsible for like all the jokes.
My favorite part was in the beginning. He like asked the girl next to me, like, what did you come here for? And she was like, "Oh, well, you know, I've never been here." And then he was like, and he looked at me, he's like, "What did you come here for?" And I was like, "To see a ghost." And he was like, "Ah."
Oh, and this is the day. This is the day where the honeys thing happened. So we had all gone up to get our tickets before the tour started. Obviously, we bought our tour tickets, and we're walking away, and the woman behind the desk says, "Oh, honey." And all four of us turned around, and she wasn't talking to any of us.
And Bullet saw this, and he started laughing. And I was mm-hmm. like, "If I hear honey, I assume you're talking to me. I'm too sweet."
Oh my gosh. We're like, "Yeah, what's up?" And this lady was like, "Oh my God, you all turned. That was the most precious thing."
I thought we forgot our card or something.
Right? So I think that's the last and final thing I'll say about the Whaley House. It was just, after that, we hopped in the car. We drove back to the Airbnb, to the Josh and Joe house. And we decided to get really, really cute because we were going out to dinner and we were going out dancing after that. Oh my gosh, this is a long episode. Do we want to like tell the whole story, or do we want to, is this like a two-parter?
We're almost done.
For it? Okay. Yeah. You're like, we could wrap it up.
I'm like, we're not going to stop now. We have hardly anything left.
Okay. So we went to this really delicious Italian restaurant, but it was funny because Britt was swindled at this restaurant.
Before we got our food, though, we were the luckiest girls in the world.
We were. We sat at the bar.
And the bartenders were, there was two young men bartending, and they were clearly both competing with each other to make us, a group of four cute women, think that they were each the coolest one.
Mm-hmm.
So they were like making us shots. And then when we were waiting for our reservation, we had to wait. But whatever, it turned out great. We accidentally got drunk at the bar. But then when we got our bill for the drinks we had ordered, he also like charged us for like one drink, and we got like 6 free ones, basically, or maybe 8. It was a lot. We got a lot of free drinks at
the bar. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10. I think 10.
Yeah.
Because we each got...
Because I paid... He charged me for like one drink, and we each got 2 shots, and then there would have been 2... Yeah, I guess 10.
Lucky honeys.
And then we were just drunk at dinner because we have empty bellies.
It was really fun, though. It was really fun.
I love what... That's why, like, when you're out, like, sitting at the bar is always a good move because... The bartenders will treat you to something. Like, mm-hmm. if you're just, rather than just standing there ready to like leave with your drink, if you're sitting there, they're more likely to treat you.
Hot tip. Lucky honey tip.
Mm-hmm.
So I had lobster ravioli. We shared that. Mm-hmm. We shared this caucho de pepe gnocchi. Britt got a $500
whole ass lobster. The guy was just like saying the specials, and she was like, oh yeah, I'll have that. And then a whole lobster came with a ton of pasta. And we were going out dancing afterwards, so she couldn't bring it. It was really sad, actually.
And they were like, you don't want a box? You don't want a box for this? And she's like, no, I can't. I don't. Really? You don't want a box for this? Like, they kept kind of like digging in.
Like, the woman was like, are you serious?
And she's then
judging, for sure.
We went to the Gaslamp District, and the best place to dance in the Gaslamp area is the Tipsy Crow. You go downstairs, and it was the best DJ. We danced our butts off.
Oh my God. It was a 30-something year old DJ. Like, he was playing all of mm-hmm. the jams for our age. It was so fun. It was such a good DJ.
So fun.
And after about 15 minutes, we were all like, well, we're all really hot and sweaty, shall we go? Well, it was probably like 20 minutes, but
in my mind, we were there for hours. Time.
It was so funny.
But it was probably 25 minutes. And then we walked over to this really cool speakeasy that's mm-hmm. disguised as an attorney's office. And you walk mm-hmm. down these stairs, and it's all red lighting. And there was this live band playing that was amazing.
So good.
And we just sat and sipped and enjoyed this live music, and we felt really sultry in the red lighting. It was, at one point I was like, Sarah, let me get pictures of you, because that's what happens when I drink. I'm like, let me just photograph how beautiful you look right now. The pictures the next day, she's a knockout. She looked stunning. They were all blurry. I took terrible photos, but in the moment I was like, this is everything. Like, you are a goddess.
When it's dark, they're definitely not as crisp. So it's not you. You're very talented.
Oh, yes. I'm just saying, when I'm under the influence of a couple of drinks. So we enjoyed
that. But that was so fun. And then Sunday.
And then Sunday. Luxurious. Delicious, long morning into early afternoon. We sunbathed. We ordered in a Postmates breakfast. We ate in the sunshine. We had all of our crystals. And then Sarah at the Oracle Artist, who has some really exciting new readings right now, go check them out, did these amazing...
And a new deck coming out.
We got to see it, and you're going to be obsessed. It really is going to look cute with ours. Like, you could pair them all together.
Get all of them.
Get all three today. So she did these amazing readings for us as we sat in the sunshine, and I was just so...
We were like yawning thinking about it because it was so relaxing.
It was so good. So... we did that all together, and then I was like, let's throw on our bathing suits. I want to play in this bathtub. We can take a couple of pictures. And I got to have this, like, because Sadie had to like do her, you to do your makeup and stuff, or your hair, whatever it was. So I had like 25 minutes just in this divine outdoor bathtub. And this is like a new goal that I have for my future home. I didn't know how much I wanted this until I was in it. And just to be in a bath and feel the sunshine and the breeze and be surrounded by plants, I just took this like very magic moment for myself and I loved it. And then you came out, we did some photos. Oh, you want to talk about how you nearly broke your neck? But you didn't because you're the luckiest girl in the world.
I'm the luckiest girl in the world. Some might call it being clumsy. I call it being lucky. I have this draft. I clipped it in my phone. I have this draft that says, it's like this voiceover that says, your fear of looking stupid is holding you back. And it's the beginning of that video.
Oh my gosh. That's so good.
But you know when you, okay, so like this hammock, okay, to me, I was like, it's attached by the four corners, but it was not. It was only attached by the middle, and hammocks can like fully swing, you know? I haven't gotten in one in a while, I guess. And so I go to get in it, and it just completely slips out from under me, and I just go flying. But I like caught myself on the hammock, and I'm fine. I didn't fully fall, but I'm videotaping this, so I have it on camera, and like everyone's watching me get into the hammock. But I survived. We were like very carefully moving around, but we got some really cute pictures in there.
Nobody was hurt, and so
we got some great content. And then I loved this part of the weekend so much. We went to Balboa Park. I had no idea. Juliet's mentioning this name multiple times throughout talking about leading up to San Diego being there. Oh, we'll go to Balboa Park. Oh, we'll go to Balboa Park. I'm like, okay, I'm picturing a large grassy area. Mm-hmm. No. Balboa Park, there's the San Diego Zoo. There's a beautiful art village. There's all these beautiful old buildings that are like ornately carved stone that are like a bunch of different kinds of museums, museum of art, museum of history, museum of this and that and that. There's this beautiful pond. There's these fountains. There's people everywhere. There's a art sculpture park outside. There's families and couples and friends everywhere. It was like, this is where me and Juliet were like, maybe we should live here. Like, mm-hmm. Balboa Park is such a fucking vibe.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to be there every weekend. It was so cute. And like the energy there was just so nice.
I know. It was wonderful. We saw a few fun things while we were there. We saw all the ducks and the geese and, you know, all the animals in the water, which was fun. We got to hear the bells from the bell tower, which I love a good like church bell sound. We saw one of those shows where the two guys collect $20 for a bunch of people and then jump over a few people.
It was awesome.
Then we saw a girl who was filming a little music video or TikTok or something. And it was just so cool because on her dress, it said 999 and the song was all about raising to like the highest vibration and glowing up and having positive people around you. It was just really, I was like, oh my God, is this like the goddess thing?
It was so, I was like, yeah, I was so, she was talking about alignment and divine energy and this. It was just like, of course we stumbled upon this. It just felt like such a sweet sign of just like our, you know, our connection, like the four of us and what brought us together and the energy we're all about. And I was like, we got to find that song. I can't remember. She said her name, but
her name was either Audrey or Aubrey Callahan. That was her name. She seemed very sweet.
If any of our wonderful listeners are people who go to, what's it called? Like busk on the street, like go sing your music or share your art somewhere. Guys, invest in a sign that has your social media handle so that if someone snaps a picture or takes a video of you, they can tag you in their story or their post and you'll get followers. I cannot tell you how frustrating I get when walking down the street and I see someone singing beautifully and all I want to do is take a story of them and post it on my Instagram and tag them. But lo and behold, I have no idea who they are. And I'm like, help me out here. What are you doing here?
Help me help you.
Why are you on here? Why are you out here for people to see you if you're not going to give them your information of like your artist page, you know? So that's my hot tip of the day.
Sadie was getting fired up. She was getting fired up.
It just happens all the time. I see it all the time. I see it too much. Too many talented people that I want to know who they are.
Mm-hmm. So we saw that. We got to see a tree that was like over 100 years old. It was massive. We wanted to just hug it and climb it. But of course, it was protected by a gate so people wouldn't hug it, climb it, carve into it, all that stuff.
Yeah, it was beautiful. It was massive. It was 125 feet in diameter. I remember that from the board about it.
Yeah, it was huge. There was in the art village, there were these every single piece of like the floor, the ground was painted a different color. And so Sadie and I were hopscotching. So that was super fun.
I love the art village. It was kind of closing down when we were there. I'd love to go back there when it was like open and, and everything.
Yeah.
And then where did we end our night?
We ended our night at the Cheesecake Factory.
We tried to go to a different restaurant. And it was okay. Look, I'm so down to spend money on a good meal, but this wasn't the place to do it. It was like $11 per individual taco at this taco place we sat down. And I was like, I'm sorry, I'm going to need like five tacos. I'm going to pay $50 No. So we were like, we'll get some chips and an app. And then we left and it was right by the Cheesecake Factory.
So we just walked over.
They definitely could see us walk into the Cheesecake Factory after that.
We said, that'll be all. Thank you. You know, it's like.
But it felt right to.
Oh my gosh.
Go through the portal one more time.
And it felt amazing to be on a trip with women who were like, I will absolutely like. Go to the Cheesecake Factory a second time. So we just had the best freaking time. And then we walked around. It was really, really close to this area called Seaport Village. And we walked through more crystal stores and other types of stores. And then there were these big like light tunnels of these color changing lights that you could walk through. And this really magical pond where all these little duckies were sleeping with their beaks tucked into their feathers. And oh, it made me miss Sweetums Girl so much. And yeah, that was kind of the end of that day. And then we headed back to our home for the weekend, went to bed, woke up, we had breakfast at a really yummy place that I forget what it was called, and then dropped off Britt in one spot, dropped off you girls at the airport, and it was really sad to say goodbye to everybody. And then homeward bound we all went. But when I was driving home, I really felt like I know we were joking about like, oh, the portal here and the portal there and the luckiest girl in the world. Like I feel different after that trip. I feel different. I just feel, I don't know. It was, and also, you know, it was sort of this magic of like the four of us are all like truly and fully pursuing our dreams and our passions. And we're like CEOs of our own businesses. And, and that was really inspiring to me. And I just to grow even closer with these two girls was just amazing. And we were already talking about, okay, should we like do Salem? Should we go to Sedona? Like, what do you want to do next? It was the ultimate vacation. It was just amazing. It's just amazing. I'm so grateful we got to do it.
It's just fun to travel with people that have like the same interests as you. Cause I love traveling with like my high school besties and they always are like, oh, we'll let Sadie pick that one witchy activity or we'll take her to the crystal store, you know, but, and love them and appreciate them for that. and I want to continue to take trips with them. It's so fun, but it's different. And it's like really fun to take a trip with like a group of people that are like equally as excited about the crystal store and the haunted house and the witchy activities, you know? So that was just really fun to just be together and Shout out to Sarah and Britt. We had so much fun with you.
We had the best time. More
can't wait
that.
For the next Lucky Honeys vacation.
I know. I know. Lucky Honeys. Lucky so, Honeys.
That was our trip. We had so much fun. And before we head out, let us just remind you quickly about all the fun stuff we have in our world right now. So our Alchemize Your Life 5-day challenge is most likely live in the show notes right now. And if it's not there, then keep an eye on our stories this week because it will be live very, very soon. And we have our free Psychic Claire's Strength Finder quiz in the show notes. We have our free Witchcraft for Beginners guide in our show notes if you haven't checked out any of those yet. And then, as always, we are always welcoming members into our coven if you are interested in diving deeper into your witchcraft practice. When you join the coven, you get access to Basic Witch 101, which is a mini introduction to witchcraft course, plus a bunch of witchy masterclasses. And then you get to join us for every new and full moon to do group rituals together that are so fun, so powerful. And if you are more interested in intuition development and discovering your own intuitive gifts, opening up to maybe even psychic ability, then the psychic circle is what you are interested in, my friend. You can hang out with us there. We have 2 calls a month. One of them is masterclass style, and then we have 1 practice session style. It's really powerful. This month's masterclass was How Mediumship Works. If you join today, you get instant access to that replay, plus a couple other masterclasses. There's meditations and guided tapping videos. I just added a couple meditations this week, and that we're constantly adding to that library. It's so exciting. You can join us for the upcoming practice session that I think is coming up this week. It must be, right? Yeah, must be. Mm-hmm. And then if you're like, both of those sound amazing, and I also just wish I had somewhere to talk about manifestation and mindset and really create something powerful in my life. Well, my friend, I have something for you. It's called the Alchemy Collective. It's your all-access pass to every live call, every ritual, every library of witchy masterclasses, meditations, guided tappings, everything we've created in our world. That is the Alchemy Collective. That's for you. We meet twice a month. On top of those other 4 meetings I already mentioned, you also get 2 Alchemy Collective calls a month where we do masterclasses around mindset, manifestation, really making shit happen in your life. It's really fun. And then we have a mastermind style call, which is all about you sharing with us what you need support in, us coaching you real time. It's really exciting. So check out more info in the show notes. Make sure you're following us on social media. Our handles are the same on Instagram and TikTok, at Goddess Hangs. I am Sadie Olson.
I'm at Juliet Piper, and we will see you next week.
Bye.